Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/Course Mastery, but just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. It's Saturday morning, Easter weekend here, and I'm just so excited to be with you today. I don't even know why, except that it seems like God is so good, really. I mean, everything is just aligning so well for all of us to awaken. And I know that day in and day out, the world seems to bring things to us that are conflict. It seems to bring things to us that are evidence that God doesn't exist, or that love isn't real, or it's just temporary, or it's something that we should be afraid of. I mean, it's kind of crazy the way the ego defines. It is crazy, absolutely, that the ego defines the very love that we are in the way that it does. It's kind of crazy. When the truth begins to dawn on the mind, when we begin to hear from our teacher the truth about what we are, the truth absolutely does set us free. There's no doubt about it, because only you can deprive yourself of anything. And that's the truth. Now, this is a true thought principle. Only you can deny yourself or deprive yourself of anything. And that's not what the thought system of the ego would want us to believe for even an instant. Because if you really, truly, totally get that, if you really get that wholly, wholly, if you wholly understand that simple principle of truth right there, it changes everything. Because you can never again say, I am the victim. I'm the victim of someone else's thinking. I'm the victim of someone else's actions. I could never experience anything, because underneath this, right, I could never experience anything that I have not made for myself to experience. I have not created, because all that is a web of relationships that I have set into motion by the very simple word we know of as desire. I've had a desire, and I have manifested from that desire an idea of mine. I have manifested every experience that's possible for me to experience. Only I can deprive myself of anything. And so when I quit depriving myself of all that is, then I can experience all that is. Not just some little bitty piece of all that is, not some little bitty speck of it, but all that is. Only I can deprive myself of anything. Only my brothers and sisters can deprive themselves of anything. There is nothing that anyone is ever in need of. There is only what we deprive ourselves of. That's it. That's it. That makes you fully responsible for every decision. And this is for every experience. And this is every decision too, I suppose. As long as you are driving the bus, so to speak, you're in control. And the ego is always trying to control every instant of our very next experience. Oh, I got this. We got this. If we just do these things, it'll be better. If I do this over here, it'll be better. If I associate with that person over there, it's going to be better. If I could teach people the way I think, it would be better. What's going to be better? Your experience? Whatever you think that's a building in your life, manifesting in your life, whatever you believe is coming your way, it's going to be better if you can control what's happening right now, or even control what's going to happen in the future. Well, you're not in a position to control anything, but you are in a position to deprive yourself of everything. And that almost seems oxymoronic. It almost seems like, a little bit of a riddle. Like the one I was sharing earlier this week. You cannot do what God has not created. So why in the hell are we spending all of our time, trying to do things that are impossible? It's impossible for you to make yourself healthy. But it is possible for you to deny yourself of health. a little bit of a riddle there, right? The ego mind is a poor servant. Intellectually, it is absolutely incapable of understanding the laws of God. It is absolutely incapable of understanding this very simple truth, that only you can deny yourself of anything. This is such a fundamental principle of truth that it's absolutely important that we grasp it. And the more we examine it, we begin to get it, and we begin to get it on a level so that tomorrow is manifested in a different way than what we're experiencing today, because today is a manifestation of past thinking, past desire, of setting intentions in the past. And somewhere in the past, if you believed yourself unworthy, if you believed yourself guilty of something, anything, against anyone, anywhere, or even that they are guilty somehow of causing harm to another brother or sister, of destroying the world, or of murdering or raping or whatever, all these horrible ideas that the ego mind brings into someone's experience because they feel like they must control this next moment of their experience at someone else's expense, of course. And we look at that in our elevated social conscious value system and say that one is guilty and that one needs to be punished and so forth and so forth and so forth. Projection of guilt onto others. Believing in guilt as something that's real. You cannot do what God has not created. So why are you trying to do the impossible? Why are you trying to offload guilt onto someone else with a value system that we've mutually agreed upon so that we all feel just a little bit safer? It's insanity. You cannot do what God has not created. Why not just give it all up? Why not? Why not? Why not? Because there's a part of your mind that you're listening to always wrong. And yes, I listen to it as well. And fear is an experience that I have had and continue to have and that I am addicted to, or I should say that my ego mind is addicted to, but I am not that mind. I am the chooser. There is no neutral. I can't stand off on the sidelines, because as soon as I think I'm standing on the sidelines, separate from God, trying to play God, then this ego mind is the only experience that I can have. There is no neutral ground. I'm either experiencing manifestations of ego thinking, or I have let it go, because I begin to realize I'm the one choosing it. Only I can deprive myself of anything. And we could say of everything. Only I can deprive myself of everything. Only my brothers and sisters can deprive themselves of everything. Only you are making the choice between listening to a voice, a thought system, a teacher constantly keeping you spellbound with fear and guilt, believing that you've done something wrong, that you are less than what God has created you to be, that you are nowhere near ready yet. You're on your journey. You're improving yourself. You've taken what is perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. You have taken a part of the mind of God and said, this part is not worthy of the rest of the mind of God. So God, please don't punish me. I'll be ready for the judgment day. But I'm just going to keep working on myself until I'm good enough to stand up and say, okay, now I'm ready. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm ready, God. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the judgment. What a crock of shit. I'm sorry, I'm being a little graphic this morning. This is bullshit. Only you can deprive yourself of everything. Only you can deprive yourself of anything. Only you can deprive yourself of the love of God. Period. 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 Experience of love is all yours. You can take down your shield of protection anytime you'd like to. We're going to talk today, continuing, ego or God. You are the chooser, but you cannot be in neutral. There's no neutral, my friend. There's no neutral for you, my brother, my sister, myself. You and I are one. And that one is God. And we are one with that one that is all there is. Only we can deprive ourselves of anything at any time, in any experience. You are the coalescing of light, effulgent and ever-changing. You're not a body. The coalescing. A blessing of light, of energy, if we could use that term which is a feeble, intellectual, egoic term to try to define the movement of the mind of God. With an unimaginable array of color, ever changing, moving, experiencing self. Yet we throw a cloak over it, what we truly are, and deny ourselves. We don't allow ourselves to know ourselves because we're listening to a teacher that is full of crap, and it's always wrong. And we are depriving ourselves of the very love of our Creator, and the very recognition of our self in that Creator. You and God are one. And when you let that be, you get your identity back. There was one, a part of your mind, nothing more, nothing less, a part of your mind that stepped around the wall that you've created, the obstacles that you've designed like a mad scientist. So block out the awareness of the presence of the rest of the infinitude of your mind, of love itself, who came here 2,000 years ago and said very plainly, you cannot do what God did not create. You cannot hold yourself captive with some thought system that you've created out of whole cloth that has nothing to do with anything in reality and is nothing more than a dream, an illusion, a nightmare, pretending to be God, to pretending to be separate from God, pretending to be all that you can be, all on your own and all by yourself. You cannot do what God has not created. You cannot take your life because you did not give yourself life. You cannot destroy love with your idea of some anti-love, an anti-matter, an anti-spirit within you that controls you and runs you and runs the world. The world you've created and made out of an imagination that's remarkable, but so limited, so tiny and small and incapable intellectually of doing anything that's real or eternal of yourself. In this mindset of separateness, you can do nothing. So why do we keep trying to do the impossible? Because we want to? Or are we just simply spellbound? Because we didn't know until someone pointed the way and said, I'm going over here, and you can, this is where you can come with me if you want to. This is a return to sanity. It's just right over here. Oh, we don't like that. Sounds like you're trying to be more than me. It sounds like you're trying to be something that I'm trying to be. It sounds like, you know, you're trying to take over here. It's like you're trying to be, you know, you're trying to get everybody to pay attention to you instead of me, and I want control. I need control. I need the whole world to validate my existence. And you're saying that you know. Well, we'll show you. We'll show you how much power you have with this idea that you and God are one. We will snuff you out. We will cause you pain. We will make you disappear. Yeah, we get together out of fear and guilt, and we do our best to control the very environment within which we believe we exist so that we can feel a little bit safer. So don't push against the crowd too loud. It wasn't that long ago, my friends, when we were murdering people who believed that the earth was round. Yes, yeah, the ego is insane. But this one said, do what you want. Do what you will. I love you. I know the love that you are. I know that there is a part of you that is also within me as I am within you. There's a part of you and its mind, the spirit that you truly are, that is the perfect creation that I am. Do what you will, because I don't believe. Do what you will. But it will not change what God has created me to be. It will not change what I am. It will not change anything. But it will contain you. It will entrap you. It will cause you to continue in a nightmare that I would also love for you to awaken from so that we can experience all of creation together and that we can know each other in truth, that we are one, and that our true identity, our true divinity, our self is that one. Do what you will. And I, knowing it being nothing more than a dream, knowing you could never do anything to me whatsoever, ever and ever, you cannot change what God has created yourself to be or anyone else. You cannot take my life because you did not create your own. That one stood up. And he still stands up now. Right now, this weekend, we celebrate the life of Jesus Christ. And his simple demonstration was, you cannot do what God has not created. You cannot snuff out life. Whether you feel guilty or afraid, or you think that punishment is due for someone else's insanity, for them to maybe even enjoy life a little bit, that's not being honorable to their creator, and so we can make up our own ideas about how God should be respected. We can make God up in our own image, and we can say that if you don't respect him enough, like if you're not respecting me enough, I will take your life. No questions. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't feel guilty. Sure you don't. We don't do anything to anybody else. We only do everything to ourselves. You can only deprive yourself of anything. You cannot change what God has created in your wildest imagination, and you cannot do what God did not create. You cannot take a life. And our brother Christ Jesus said, let me show you. He stood up. Join me, those of you who are ready to awaken and let go of this insanity. And a few did, and a few still do, and all will eventually. When we quit depriving ourselves of ourselves. But he shared with us that there is a voice that is always with us, always will be with us. And in this teaching, A Course in Miracles, he defines it as the Holy Spirit. And if the terminology triggers resistance, I'm sorry, but I'm not. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry to tell you the truth. You can label it anything you want to. Words are poor excuses, just symbols of symbols. So call it spirit. Call it the source of all that is. Whatever it is, you know it because it is you, and it is part of your existence, not just part of your existence. It is all of your existence, and everything else you're trying to do, which is impossible, is impossible, no matter how much definition and labels you put on it. This mind of spirit is the truth of what you are. It is your true self, capital S self, and it is the part of you that knows itself as perfect and needs nothing because it denies itself nothing. And it's you. And he only said, listen to that voice. And he became that voice for you because it was him. And it is you. And he just simply said, it's within you now. It's never left. You don't have to worry, ever. You don't have to listen to the ego ever again because you, and only you, can deprive yourself of anything. Only you can deprive yourself of the voice of God, which is your voice. And that is your inheritance. It's your inheritance. Is the voice of love. The world denying you love? Bullshit. section 4, chapter 11, God or the ego? The inheritance of God's son, the inheritance of God's daughter, the inheritance of God's child. Whatever label you want to put on it doesn't matter, you see. You are that one. And ultimately, the awakening, the knowing of yourself as that one, the first creation of God, God is being all that you are being. You are not God, but God has always been all that you are being. Even if you have walled off a part of your mind and ignore it, you turned your back on the self, the true self that you are. But that voice still resonates, that voice is still there, and that voice is available to you whenever you want to turn around. There's no neutral. You just need to change gears. You don't need to change your thinking. You need to quit thinking. You need to let go of the thought that you're the one doing the thinking, because that is not you. Will the real you please stand up? Paragraph 1, section 4, the inheritance of God's son. Never forget that the sonship, all of the brotherhood, if you will, that the sonship is your salvation. For the sonship is your true self, capital S self. The whole sonship is your true self. As God's creation, it is yours. And belonging to you, it, this self, capital S self, is also his, God's. Yourself, your true self, does not need salvation, but your mind needs to learn what salvation is. You are not saved from anything, but you're saved for glory. Glory is your inheritance given you by your Creator that you might extend it. Yet if you hate part of yourself, any part of the sonship, any part of the brotherhood of the world, any part of the sonship, all your understanding is lost, because you're looking on what God created as yourself without love. And since what he created is part of him, you're denying him, God, his place in his own altar, your mind. Your mind is the altar of God. Could you try to make God, continuing, could you try to make God homeless and know that you are at home? Can the Son, capital S Son, deny the Father without believing that the Father has denied him? God's laws hold only for your protection, and they never hold in vain. What you experience when you deny your Father is still for your protection. What? Oh, I know, that's a tough one, right? Well, what about all the pain, and what about all the struggle, and what about all the sacrifice, and the suffering, and the hatred and the hostility, whatever you experience, what you experience when you deny your Father is still for your protection, because these are the things that you're trying to do when God has not created. And so the resistance and the pushback, the angst and the conflict that you are experiencing is there for your protection, to move you back into your right mind. And God's not doing that to you. It's simply, if you step off the end of the pier, you're going to jump, you're going to hit the water. Because the law of gravity, a law that we all seem to recognize easily, is immutable in this experience of physicality. You cannot do what God has not created, so you cannot. You simply cannot do the impossible. Because to do anything that God did not create, which is for you to be creator, for you to extend love, is impossible. So no wonder you're feeling resistance, right? No wonder. It's there for our protection. What you experience when you deny your Father is still for your protection, for the power of your will cannot be lessened without the intervention of God against it, and any limitation on your power is not the will of God. Therefore, look only to the power that God gave to save you, remembering that it is yours because it is His, and join with your brothers in His peace. God's peace. Your peace lies in its limitlessness. Limit the peace you share, and yourself, your true self, must be unknown to you. Every altar to God is part of you, because the light He created is one with Him. Would you cut off a brother from the light that is yours? You would not do so if you realize that you can darken only your own mind. As you bring him back, your brothers and sisters, as you bring them back into the light of truth, what is that? That means that you're recognizing that they are guiltless. As you bring them back from your judgment of guilt, so you will return. That is the law of God for the protection of the wholeness of His Son, you. Only you can deprive yourself of anything. Don't oppose this realization, for it is truly the beginning of the dawn of light. Remember also that the denial of this simple fact takes many forms, and these you must learn to recognize and to oppose steadfastly without exception. When we see someone doing something out of a false teacher, false belief, an idea of separation, we need to oppose that. And I'm injecting here my thoughts. That we oppose that steadfastly without exception. In our mind, we do not have to agree with the mutually agreed upon definitions of guilt and fear and death and sickness and aging and physicality and all of the insane ensuing pervading concepts of illusion. We do not have to agree with it. We can oppose it steadfastly. Where? In our own mind. As we attempted to crucify and murder the Prince of Peace, the just historically the only one who has literally proven without a shadow of a doubt that you cannot die. He simply said, "For the Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Even in that moment, what appeared to us where we were torturing him, he felt no pain, no fear, no guilt, only love and the wish for you to awaken. He forgave us, not at all for what we thought we were doing, He only asked that we would forgive ourselves for our misperceptions. This is a crucial step, continuing. This is a crucial step in the reawakening. The beginning phases of this reversal, this thought reversal, if you will, are often quite painful, for as blame is withdrawn from without, in other words, we're going to quit judging the world, we're going to quit projecting guilt. As blame is withdrawn from without, there is a strong tendency to harbor it within. It is difficult at first to realize that this is exactly the same thing, for there's no distinction between within and without. If your brothers are part of you and you blame them for your deprivation, you're blaming yourself. And you cannot blame yourself without blaming them. That is why blame must be undone. Not seen somewhere else outside of you. It must be undone. Lay it to yourself, and you cannot know yourself, for only the ego blames it all. You put blame on yourself, you don't know yourself. Self-blame, continuing, is therefore ego identification, and as much as an ego defense is blaming others. Now, this is very important, this next sentence. I want to tie it back with our earlier statement. Only you can deprive yourself of anything, and you cannot enter God's presence if you attack his son. You blame, you project guilt, you shrink from fear, believing you're defending yourself from your brothers and sisters by protecting yourself from them. That is a projection of fear, and fear and guilt never ride separately. You're projecting fear on your brothers because you feel the guilt. You're blaming yourself. Or you're projecting guilt on them because you want to punish them for something you believe you've done. This is unconscious ego. So you lay it to yourself, and you cannot know yourself. You cannot enter God's presence if you attack his son. And you are that one. You're attacking yourself. When his son lifts his voice in praise of his creator, he will hear the voice for his father. Yet the creator cannot be praised without his son, for their glory is shared, and they are glorified together. Christ is at God's altar, waiting to welcome his son. But come wholly without condemnation. For otherwise, you believe that the door is barred and you cannot enter. The door is not barred. And it's impossible that you cannot enter the place where God would have you be. But love yourself. Only love yourself with the love of Christ, for so does your Father love you. You can refuse to enter, but you cannot bar the door. You cannot bar the door that Christ holds open. Come unto me, he says, who hold it open for you. For while I live it, it cannot be shut, and I live forever. God is my life and yours, and nothing is denied by God to his son. At God's altar, Christ awaits for the restoration of himself in you. God knows his son as wholly blameless as himself. And he is approached through the appreciation of his son. Christ waits for your acceptance of him as yourself and of his wholeness as yours. For Christ is the Son of God who lives in his creator and shines with his God's glory. Christ is the extension of the love and the loveliness of God, as perfect as his creator and at peace with him. Blessed is the Son of God whose radiance is of his Father, and whose glory he wills to share as his Father shares it with him. There is no condemnation in the Son, capital S, Son of God. For there is no condemnation in the Father. Sharing the perfect love of the Father, the Son must share what belongs to him. For otherwise, he will not know the Father or the Son. Peace be unto you, who rest in God, and in whom the whole sonship exists. Again, as we close this beautiful teaching this morning, I'm compelled to say, amen. And so it is. We are truly blessed, my brothers and sisters, to have our teacher raise his hand yet again and say, there is another way, there's another way. Now, we talked about our brothers and sisters. We've talked about the loveliness of God. Talked about resting in God. Peace be unto you who rest in God, and in whom then the whole sonship rests. And isn't it, I want to say a miracle, but a miracle is a sudden shift of perception, right? But isn't it absolutely beautiful how the Holy Spirit guides us, leads us in everything if we just allow it? Just allow it. Our lesson today, my friends, I rest in God. We ask for rest today and quietness, unshaken by the world's appearances. We ask for peace and stillness in the midst of all the turmoil born of clashing dreams. We ask for safety and for happiness, although we seem to look on danger and on sorrow. And we have the thought that will answer our asking with what we request. I rest in God. I rest in God. Say it with me. I rest in God. This thought will bring to you the rest and quiet, peace and stillness, and the safety and the happiness you seek. I rest in God is what our brother Christ Jesus was saying even on the cross. From the world's appearance that we were destroying him, you cannot do what God did not create. You cannot destroy God's Son. You are that one. It's time to celebrate. Because we rest in God. This thought has power to wake the sleeping truth in you, whose vision sees beyond appearances to that same truth in everyone and everything there is. Here is the end of suffering for all the world and everyone who ever came and yet will come to linger for a while. Here is the thought in which the Son of God is born again to recognize himself. I rest in God. Completely undismayed, this thought will carry you through storms and strife, past misery and pain, past loss and death, and onward to the certainty of God. There is no suffering that it cannot heal. There is no problem it cannot solve, and no appearance but will turn to truth before the eyes of you who rest in God. This is a day of peace. You rest in God. And while the world is torn by winds of hate, your rest remains completely undisturbed. Yours is the rest of truth. Appearances cannot intrude on you. You call to all to join you in your rest, and they will hear and come to you because you rest in God. They will not hear another voice. They will not hear another voice than yours because you gave your voice to God. And now you rest in him and let him speak through you. In him, God, you have no cares and no concerns, no burdens, no anxiety, no pain, no fear of future, and no past regrets. In timelessness you rest, while time goes on without its touch upon you. For you rest, your rest can never change in any way at all. You rest today. And as you close your eyes, sink into stillness, resting in God. And let these periods of rest and respite reassure your mind that all its, the mind's frantic fantasies, were just dreams, only dreams. Dreams of a fever that has passed away. Let it be still and thankfully accept its healing. No more fearful dreams will come. Now that you are resting in God. Take time today, my friends, to slip away from dreams and into peace. Each hour that you take your rest today, a tired mind is suddenly made glad. A bird with broken wings begins to sing. A stream, long dry, begins to flow again. The world is born again. Each time you rest and hourly, remember that you come to bring the peace of God into the world. That is what takes. That it might take its rest. The world might take its rest along with you. You are that one. Because you are as God created you. I'm adding, you are as God created you. You cannot change what God has created you to be. And as you rest in the mind of God, you're just remembering yourself. With each 5 minutes that you rest today, the world is near waking. The world's getting close to waking up. Because you are waking up. And the time when rest will be the only thing there is comes closer to all worn and tired minds, too weary now to go their own way alone. And they will hear the bird begin to sing and see the stream begin to flow again, with hope reborn and energy restored, to walk with lightened steps now along the road that suddenly seems easy as they go. You rest within the peace of God today and call upon your brothers. From your rest, draw them to their rest, along with you. You be faithful to your trust today, forgetting no one, bringing everyone into the boundless circle of your peace, the holy sanctuary where you rest. Open the triple doors and let them come from far across the world and near as well. See, your distant brothers and your closest friends, and bid them all enter here and rest in God with you. You rest within the peace of God today, quiet and unafraid. Each brother comes to take his rest and offer it to you. We rest together here, for thus our rest is made complete. And what we give today, we have received already. Time is not the guardian of what we give today. We give to those unborn and those passed by, to every thought of God, that is every brother and sister in the sonship, to every thought of God and to the mind in which these thoughts were born and where they rest. We give these unborn and those passed by to every thought of God and to the mind in which these thoughts were born and where they rest. And we remind them of their resting place each time we tell ourselves, I rest in God. And so it is. And so it always has been. And so it always will be. Because that is the inheritance of the Son of God, your inheritance. The peace of God is yours. It has never not been yours. No matter how much you try to convince, how much the ego tries to convince you otherwise, you cannot do what God has not created. So you and I have a purpose because we have learned now that we keep what we give. We've learned that we cannot do what God has not created. We have learned the impossible need to be done no more because it's impossible. We cannot hate. We cannot hold our brothers and sisters hostage to our misperception. We cannot destroy their bodies and damage their minds. We cannot take their lives. And we cannot make them choose differently but we can choose differently. We can decide today to rest in God. We can decide this Easter weekend to remember God, but not just to remember God, but to rest in God. We can decide today to practice every hour to be Christ. Not to be Christ-like, but to be Christ, as our brother Christ was resting in God, even on the day of crucifixion, and on the day that the world calls resurrection. He wasn't changing anything. He didn't go from one to the other. He simply walked out of one room into another. And you also have that choice. As long as you want, you can hold yourself unworthy of a love that never could ever see you less than what it is. That could never see you in reality needing anything except that love. Keep going round and round, round and round. Or you can begin to rest in God, and maybe in that moment, reach out and hold the hand of the one who is guiding you. And I know who you are. As we join together, you cannot get through this illusion and leave a part of yourself behind. Look around, wherever you may be. Everyone you see is yourself, or that one. And you have a part in God's plan for salvation. And our brother, Jesus Christ, played his role well. Got your attention, huh? Damn sure got mine. Join with me in prayer. Father, your child is perfect. Your son is perfect. Your daughter is perfect. All that you create is perfect in everything. When I think that I'm hurt in any way, it's just I've forgotten who I am and that I am as you've created me. Your thoughts can only bring me happiness. And I may sound like I'm crying, my friend, but I am truly happy that you are with me and that you have mighty companion. And Father, we are so grateful and so thankful that we are holding each other's hands in this revolution. Not the word I think is appropriate, but it's time for us to return home and to rest in your love. If I am ever sad or hurt or ill, I have forgotten what you think and put my little meaningless ideas in place of where your thoughts belong, Father, and where they are. I can be hurt by nothing but my thoughts. Only I can deprive myself of your love, Father, and I ask only for the help of the brotherhood, for the help of my brothers and sisters, and my brother Christ Jesus, who's shown us clearly we cannot do what you have not created. And there is no sacrifice. There is no penance. There is no retribution. There is only your love. And all we need do is remember that we are already at home in you. I can be hurt by nothing but my thoughts, because your laws hold true in all the universe. The thoughts I think with you, my Father, the thoughts of love, only those thoughts can bless. And the thoughts I think with you alone are true. I will not hurt myself today, Father, for I am far beyond all pain. My Father, you have placed me safe in heaven, and I know you're watching over all that is. And I would not attack my brothers and sisters, not today, but because today I know of your love for them. And I'll see through today, with your blessing, the illusion that I've tried to convince myself of, that I could judge them and try to make of them something that they are not, and in that, having made myself something that I am not. Because I know, Father, that your love is also mine to love. With this, Father, we say with gratitude, we love you. I love you. Thank you so much, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless my brothers and sisters. Have a happy Easter weekend. And I look so forward to our next journey deeper into an understanding of what we are through A Course in Miracles.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly,